What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
We are working to get Albert Breer here shortly. MMQB joins us every single carry. It's Tuesday. That's when he does at 5:20. So we'll work to get Albert on here. I had a comparison for what I think the Browns might be thinking. What I think if Kevin Stefanski and the Browns are really hoping that Kenny Pickett can be, and I think there's a reason that Kenny Pickett might get the first thrust at this job, even before Joe Flacco and certainly before the rookies. I think if what Joe Bitonio said is true, and I believe it to be true, that the Browns are going back to what they did 4 years ago, I think they want Kenny Pickett to be Baker Mayfield from that year.
26 touchdowns to 8 interceptions.
But look at how many times he threw. I think he threw like 450-plus times.
I think he was averaging like 25 throws a game. It was not a lot.
And so his job was make enough plays to move the ball, but don't necessarily push the ball down the field. We're going to run the ball, rely on a good defense. Like it?
Love it.
Let's see if Albert Breer loves it. MMQB. Albert, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
We're doing all right here. The NFL owners' meeting's rolling along. I want to get to the Kenny Pickett comparison I just made, but I want to get your take on the flag football approval we got today and really why this is coming to fruition.
I'd say the main thing is, I think this is a big picture thing for the NFL, and part of it is they're trying to grow the game internationally and everything else. There's only so much you can grow when you don't have kids playing it. And the reality is football is a lot harder to export than a sport like basketball or soccer, where you can just put up a couple of goals or put up a couple of hoops, roll out a bag of balls, and kids can learn how to play. Just because of the equipment, the numbers, the violence of the game, the insurance costs, all that difference. So, I think their way around that has been to try to legitimize flag football in any way they possibly can, which is, turning it into a varsity sport for girls.
Yeah, the international side of things, when we discussed it, obviously that was a reason why we made some of the points that we did, because the NFL does everything in trying to grow the international game these days to a point where you just look at the schedule, everything's changed.
It's only so far you can grow it if kids aren't playing it. And, I think anything they can do to legitimize flag, whether it's, make it a varsity sport for girls, so you get girls playing domestically, or legitimize it so more people are playing internationally, has been important to the league. And that's why getting it into the Olympics was important for them. And, and now I think, what can we do to get more attention on, flag football in the Olympics? Well, the way you could do that is you can get NFL players playing in it. And it'll be interesting to see. I don't know. Some of my buddies back in Ohio might hear me say this and laugh, but we won our fraternity league at Ohio State back in like 01 or 02 or whatever. So I remember we thought let's go play in this Nike league. It was like a Nike Elite League or something. We got our freaking doors blown off because we were running actual football plays. You know what I mean? Actual football stuff. And the other teams were doing in this league was nothing like that, because it's a different sport. It's all kinds of laterals and pitches and all that different stuff. And so I think that's another piece that's going to be interesting too, is are the NFL players actually the best options to play in this, you know, especially if they're not training for it. It's going to be an interesting bridge for them to cross when they get there.
There's some other things obviously going on too. The tush push continues to be talked about, but something we've been kind of honed in on is the potential major change to the playoff seeding, and it wouldn't start in the wild card round. It would start after that. Do you think that's a good idea if the NFL moved forward with the reseeding?
Yeah, there are a couple of different ideas here. I don't agree with the overall reseeding. Here's why. The NFL is not the NBA. It's not baseball. You don't play every team over the course of the year. The schedules are so wildly different. I think the value, this isn't even about like just raw record. To me, it's about the fact that these teams are competing in different environments from one another, you know? And so, like, I think the best example this year is going to be that the NFC East has to play the NFC North and the AFC West. The NFC West gets to play the two South divisions, right? So, like, in the AFC North or the AFC West and the NFC North, you have six playoff teams from last year. In the two South divisions, you have two. So is it fair to the team in the NFC East if they win the division at 10 or 11 wins, and then the second-place team in the NFC West, who is playing the South divisions, wins 12 games? It's those records aren't the same. You know, like, so I personally, I'm not wild about it, but this isn't about fairness. This is about television, and you know what they feel like, and this part of it is true. Like, if you have open seating, you'll have more compelling games and give teams more to play for in week 17 and week 18 instead of teams resting guys. And I think a flashpoint for them was the Rams last year, where the Rams actually did have something to play for in week 18, and Sean McVay made the conscious decision that it was more important that he rest his guys than play for seating. So then they wind up losing that game. They drop to the 4 seed, and a lot of people said, "Well, you should have tried to avoid the Vikings, who won 14 games." But the Vikings had just been in that war with the Lions for the NFC North title in week 18. So they were beat up and worn out, and a fresh Rams team came in and knocked them out of the playoffs. You know, and so like it actually rewarded taking that strategy of making your week 18 game irrelevant. I think they're worried about those sorts of things becoming more and more prevalent, especially if they wind up going to 18 games. So, you know, I think as big a part of it as anything is like the broadcast partners having something valuable and the league having something valuable to sell to the broadcast partners, as many ways as they're going to slice this up when they have a new set of television deals. So I don't think that's going to get passed at this meeting. What I do think is happening, though, is Roger Goodell, I think, is setting this up to try to get it passed in 2026, and we'll see if that happens.
Albert Breer of the MMQB on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So we got a little bit of a Deshaun update. One, he's all over social media showing, you know, his workout videos, but we've also found out that Deshaun is throwing with Browns receivers. And so we have that, and then we obviously have Jimmy Haslam's comments about what a debacle the Deshaun thing has been back at the owner meetings a couple months back. So this has stoked fears for Browns fans that there might be a chance he factors into this thing in 2025. So I'm asking you, what percent chance would you give Deshaun to play regular season football for the Cleveland Browns ever again?
I mean, I don't think it's impossible at all. Like, I think it's definitely on the table, and I think he could play this year. I think if you look at the timelines for Achilles, they do vary a bunch, but, you know, I don't, like, based on when he had the second tear, you know, the idea that he can come back in 9 months, second tear, I believe, happened in December, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if it was a 9-month timetable or 10-month timetable, which, like, Aaron Rodgers was fully cleared, I think right and around that range, like, you're still talking about potentially before the season, you know? So, well, you guys know, like, I think the number one thing you all have to trust is Instagram videos, right? Like, those are the, those are never doctored. I think there's a possibility that he comes back and he's cleared in time to play a good chunk of the 2025 season. And I think he knows what's on the line too. So, it'll be interesting to see if you've got a different Deshaun, because they absolutely have taken a completely different approach in how they built the quarterback room and just putting a ton of competition in that room. And, you know, I think maybe you get a different Deshaun than, you know, versus like a year ago where you were sort of building the room to support him. You're not doing that at all anymore. And maybe he takes that as a challenge, and maybe we see a different version of Deshaun whenever he's cleared.
Yeah, the hard part for me, Albert, would be that, you know, we have four quarterbacks in this room. So I feel like it'd be a hard, like, there's a lot of quarterbacks you still have to jump in that regard if you're Deshaun. And I don't know if even looking good in practice, because we've seen him look good in practice and then absolutely stink up the joint in game. So I think it'd be a hard sell for the Browns and the coaches. I almost wonder if he's just training for his life without the Browns.
Yeah, maybe, you know, I, and again, I'm not sure. I think there's a lot of things that everybody's got to work through before we get to the point where, you know, we know, you know, when it's going to be cleared, when we know what that's going to look like for the team. But, you know, I do know this, when you put four quarterbacks in that room, when you draft two in the first five rounds, you know, you're throwing every dart you possibly can to try to get it right. And, you know, if all of a sudden, I'm not predicting this, but if all of a sudden that 2020, that Deshaun that you traded for, that Deshaun that played 2020 at the level he did, 2019 at the level that he did, if all of a sudden there's a glimpse that he could be back, well, it would be foolish not to at least consider it based on everything that the Browns have already gone through, all the money they've already spent, and the position all of those guys are in. So I think you kind of have to approach it now like, if you're the Browns, like, this is like a no-lose situation. Like, either, like, we already have sort of chalked this up as a sunk cost and one of the biggest sunk costs in NFL history. So if somehow this turns itself around, it'd be silly not to at least consider that.
Albert, we were talking about Joel Bitonio, who joined us earlier, and he talked, you know, like, the Browns are getting back to who they were 2 years ago, getting back to who they were when they were winning with Baker Mayfield, and that's about running the ball, playing turnover-free football, and obviously a good defense. And I was looking at it. In 2020, the Browns had the fourth most rushing attempts in the NFL at 495 rushing attempts a year. If they ran the same amount this year, that would put them in 2024. That put them ninth in the NFL. So it feels like the Browns are zagging when everyone else is zagging. Is getting back to running the ball and playing defense, is that even different in 2024 or 2025, given what we saw in 2024?
I mean, maybe a little bit. Like, I do think like that based on the structure of their team and the way they're set up right now. It's something they're going to have to look at. They drafted two running backs, and I think both Quinshon Judkins and Dylan Sampson are really good prospects. You know, you hope that you're going to get your left tackle position taken care of. And if it's DeJuan Jones, then that's a big run blocking left tackle. You're sort of set up that way. I think the other piece of it that's really, to me, interesting is the impact the loss of Bill Callahan had. And I think that's one thing through everything last year that we didn't talk about a lot. At least I didn't talk about a lot with you guys, but I think that's a major thing. You know what I mean? And now you're on your third line coach in 3 years, and you had Vrabel helping out in that group last year. And so, like, what does that look like? You know, I think a lot of, you know, there's going to be, I think, a lot on the Browns coaches, on Tommy Rees as the new offensive coordinator, you know, and Mike Bloomgren as the new line coach, to try and create a group that's and a run game that's capable of supporting the quarterbacks, because I think you have to build in for the fact that there could be some bumps at quarterback along the way.
Yeah, Albert, it's such a unique offensive line in general. Like, you mentioned DeJuan, and obviously he's here, but then the four other guys are all with expiring contracts at the end of the season. Like, there's at the end of this year, even if it works out, it could end up looking completely different for the following season.
For sure, yeah. And it's an aging group, too. I mean, look, Bitonio, Taylor, and Conklin aren't getting any younger. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, you're certainly looking at a group that could look completely different in a year. And what do some of the young guys look like? Is Luke Whipler coming along? Is Zach Center coming along? Like, there are a lot of questions, you know? I think the big one here now is, what does DeJuan Jones look like at left tackle? But, you know, you definitely want to have some young guys in the pipeline and coming along, and what that looks like, I think, in October, November, December. Chances are you're going to have to go to one of those guys at some point anyway. what that looks like in, you know, October, November, December, like you said, like might not just affect them in 2025, but also could affect their approach in 2026.
Albert, Ryan Clark, former Steeler, still close with Mike Tomlin, saying on Get Up that he thinks it's time Mike Tomlin coaches elsewhere. A slight paraphrase there by me. Is that the sense around the NFL? Is that the sense around Pittsburgh,
no,
or is that maybe Ryan's opinion?
No, I think it's Ryan's opinion, but I wouldn't discount what he says. He obviously played for him, has got a close relationship with him. I do think it's something to be considered. You know, like there was back in the day that whole Bill Walsh theory that, you know, your voice is only going to resonate for about a decade if you're really great at it. You know, I think that the math on that's changed a little bit because of player movement. And because you have, you know, like every 3-4 years, almost your entire roster is turning over. And so, you know, I think that gives coaches an opportunity to present their message in a new way to a new group of guys, and there's less of a chance the message is going to go stale. But, you know, after you've been in one place for that long, I do think there are challenges that are presented. And, you know, so I think it's something you have to consider. And people have asked that question with John Harbaugh, too. You know, like those two guys have been, I think, between the two of them, with their teams for 35 years, right? I think one's 17, one's 18. I think Harbaugh has been there 17 years and Tomlin's been in Pittsburgh 18. It's a long time to be in one place. And so those questions have been asked over the last few years. There's been the question, would somebody come in and trade for one of those guys? I know this, like if I'm another team and I need a coach and my season's circling the drain, you know, I'm probably at least exploring the idea of trading for someone like that who might be looking for a fresh start somewhere. But I also think on the other hand, you know, I mean, certainly I don't think Baltimore and John Harbaugh, I don't think that's anywhere, you know, you're anywhere close to any sort of scenario where Baltimore would accept a trade of John Harbaugh somewhere else. But even with Tomlin, like the Steelers, as much as you have heard that stuff over the last couple of years, they really value what they have in Mike Tomlin and understand what they have. And I think the people there would tell you that, you know, more of the issue there in the last couple of years has been their inability to get the quarterback position right, way more than it has anything to do with whether or not the player's still listening to Tomlin.
Albert, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate you. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right, thanks.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And version of the playoffs going forward look like if it's passed?
Yeah, so in the March one, I think that's what the morning buzz were kind of going off of, because the March one you would have reseeded before the playoffs ever get underway. This system now is you do the wild card round and then you reseed after the wild card round is done. So like in last year's AFC, for instance, nothing would have changed. Nothing at all. But if you go to the NFC side, it would have changed the second round drastically, because then the Lions, instead of playing the Commanders and Jaden Daniels, the Lions then would have played the Rams. It's a much easier matchup. And so, like, there's I think the theory behind it is you get better games in the divisional rounds, but also it sounds more fair to me. And that's why I thought it was interesting that Albert suggested that it wasn't.
So, as long as divisional winner still means something,
yeah,
like as long as the four divisional winners still qualify for the playoffs.
And that's how it would be. So very first round, you go 1-4 within your divisional winners, and then you go for wild card and back of that, and then you don't reseed until the second round.
So as long as that is the case, I don't really care how you slice it from there. You know, like because I think we can always point to a specific thing. Well, the year that you did this, this would have happened differently. And I mm-hmm. understand that. Okay, but it didn't. Like the past happened the way it happened. I don't necessarily buy, like, I still think we're in an era where so many factors go into what a good playoff game looks like in the playoffs. I think you're chasing a perfection that doesn't exist. Because you still have seven playoff games.
And it's playoff football in general, right? We are at a point, though, where you can have some bad playoff teams. For sure you can.
Well, but I think my point is, like, that happens when, like, a three seed ends up having the wrong injury at the wrong time. Or teams that started the season really hot, like Pittsburgh, the last Roethlisberg year.
Even last year.
Yeah, like where that Roethlisberg year, though, they were like 10-1 or something like that.
That was the year that they actually played the Browns in the playoffs.
Yeah, and so, and then they played like crap and got the you-know-what smacked out of them. Like, there's just always going to be a thing that you're not going to be able to control, but I guess in the interest of fairness, like, as long as, because my point is, as long as the divisional thing still takes a minute, it still takes precedence, then we're good. And it's the thing that I really hate that we've gone to. Like, divisions just don't matter in the NBA, and I wish they'd just do away with them now that they've killed that.
Yeah,
they
easily could.
If the NFL ever took away divisions, meaning like the importance of winning a division, I think that's the only way you could get me to, because I do think regional rivalry still, and like, listen, we might not know about it, but dude, people in Carolina hate the Saints, hate the Falcons. When both teams are good, it absolutely drives business.
Yeah, for sure. I what I like about this is it's putting more importance on the regular season. I feel like we've gone so far in the other direction. Anytime you add a game, Nick, and they're just going to continue to add games, you water down the regular season. You make it matter less. This goes in favor of making it matter a little bit more and putting some more importance on actually winning 11 games versus 12 or 12 games versus 13 and that jockeying for position.
And I think you're on, like, I get really annoyed. In the NBA, tanking is a systemic issue. And so the NBA draft lottery is that what they did was justified, because it de-incentivizes tanking because a quarter of the or a third of the league was doing it at the end of the season. Even in baseball right now, like, you can't tell me the Rockies, the White Sox, certainly the A's for a couple years, there's four or five teams in baseball every year that are there. And sometimes it's big market teams. They're just flat out like, we're not trying to win.
Yeah.
It was really hard to do in baseball. In the NFL, there's so few teams. And so people have kind of put tanking on a pedestal like it's a problem or non-competitiveness. I'm like, the bigger issue at the end of the season is not two teams that are very clearly jockeying for the number one or number two pick. It's the teams that should be jockeying for playoff position that aren't playing their starters, and that impacts half the league.
Yeah, and are playing for health instead of playing for anything else.
And
yeah.
And by the way, valid solution at how it's drawn up, but it adds, I mean, meaningless 18, week 18 and then go into sometimes what's a hit or miss wild card round. That's 2 weeks of playoff time football that doesn't do diddly squat.
Right. But like when I talked about the NBA and the 3-point barrage that happens, I'm like, it's not, it's not the GM's problem to go ahead and fix the idea that the game is wrong and the game is broke. That's on the owners. That's on the league. And same thing applies here with the NFL. Like if there's a clear flaw in it, it's not the Rams' fault for what they did in week 18 of the season to try to make sure that they could have as much health as they possibly could. That was them gaming the system. Now it's up to the system to go ahead and fix itself.
Are you guys a fan of reseeding after the first round of the playoffs? It does mean the divisional winners still make the playoffs. They still get seeded 1 through 4 in the first round of the wild card round of the playoffs. We've got plenty to get to in the 6 o'clock hour. Odd man out or just plain old fall guy? That's a conversation for the Cavaliers in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America. We'll be right back.